Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis, and this is episode 225, season 9. Today's date is June 3rd, 2023, and welcome to the show. On today's program, I'm going to talk about, I'm still laughing about this, Clutch Cargo, the animated series. Oh, my God. When I posted this yesterday, that I'm going to discuss this. I've had some wonderful responses, some crazy ones, some negative ones, but I'll get to that in a moment. And the second part of the show, I will talk about my earliest memories of being introduced to the internet, you know, really briefly about that. So I think I talked about this before, maybe last year or something. Maybe I did. I'm not sure. So I'll revisit it again. Okay. So before I get started, the program will go into a commercial break. This program is brought to you by Trident Sugarless Mints, not gum, mints. And here's a commercial from 1978. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the commercial, and I'll be right back with the program. Thank you, everyone.
There's a brand new mint coming your way, and it doesn't promote tooth decay. New Trident Sugarless Mints.
Trident Mints, a cool new taste for your mouth, no sugar for your teeth. New Trident Mints are 26% bigger than before with cooling crystals too.
There's a brand new mint coming your way, and it doesn't promote tooth decay. New Trident Sugarless Mints.
Trident Mints, a cool new taste for your mouth, no sugar for your teeth.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial for Trident Sugarless Mints. I can't get the... I love this commercial. The jingle is infectious. You can't get it out of your head. There's a brand new mint coming your way, and it doesn't promote tooth decay. New Trident Sugarless Mints. And if you can find the commercial on YouTube, and then there's people... A few young people dancing, and they take the mints and they tap it on their teeth. Oh my God, I forgot all about this commercial. When I saw it, it was like, oh my goodness, that was beautiful. As for Trident Sugarless Mints, it was on the market for a while, maybe from late 70s to early 80s, and then it was discontinued. Then they rebranded the mints or something. Now we have gum. We always have gum. Trident's been around since late 60s or 70s. It's still a good product. Not much of a gum person. When I was a kid, I loved bubble gum. I really did. For example, Bubble Yum or Bazooka, Bubblicious, Hubba Bubba. Remember those? Yeah. Maybe I'll talk about that someday. You know, my favorite bubble gum. You know, brands of bubble gum, that is. You know, so that'd be kind of cool. I remember the commercial. I think they aired this on Saturday mornings when American Bandstand was on television on WLS TV Channel 7. And, you know, hosted by Dick Clark. And somebody emailed, says, why don't you talk about that show? You know, because we went, grew up watching it on Saturday mornings. You know, I said, yeah, maybe. It's not a bad idea. You know, because during the 70s and early 80s, we saw a lot of performing artists. I remember one, John Travolta sang one of his songs, Letter In. And they interviewed not singers, you know, actors and actresses too. Yeah, well, I'll touch on that. I'll give it some thought. Okay. Anyway, at the beginning of the program, I said I was going to talk about Clutch Cargo, the animated series, and also my earliest memories of the first time using the internet. Before I get started, I want to mention one thing. About a couple of days ago, everyone who follows me on Facebook and Twitter knows about this. I had to block somebody from my social media accounts because they called Vanish Chicagoland stupid, worthless, and full of crap. But they used the S word. I want to clarify something. The person that I blocked was not a troll. He was not a bot. You know, I get trolls every day, but I don't post online saying, oh, this troll said this, this troll says that. No, maybe I did that before, but no, if I get that, I just delete or block and then move on. But this was different because this person was someone I knew. And he was not really a friend. He was an acquaintance of a friend of mine. I met him a few times over the years, you know, I've talked to him, but then all of a sudden he just turned like that. He was horrible and like that. And well, first, before I blocked him, I emailed him and I said, well, what's the matter? Well, why are you talking like that? And then he refuses to answer. You know, and he kept going and going. I think he was drunk or just bitter. I know one fact, that he was going through a lot in his personal life. I had to ask somebody about that, and he told me, well, he's going through a divorce, and he's just angry at the world. But that doesn't give him an excuse to talk to other people. Don't take your anger on other people. I did that a couple of times in my life, maybe more, but never did that. It's not right. So I had to block him, but I haven't heard from him since, because he could text me and all that. But if he apologizes and, you know, says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, I might reconsider. Yeah, but he's on Facebook, so I would block him. I don't know about Twitter. I have no idea. So I haven't seen him in a long time, so, but he doesn't live near my house. So that's okay. You know, but it was very hurtful, you know, because that was really bad. And when I posted this and I explained this to everyone, oh, I had a lot of support, a lot of comments, and I want to thank you for that. You know, I'm not here to fishing for compliments. It's just something that I had to address, something I have to tell you, because this happens to all of us. It's worse when you're a celebrity, which I'm not. I'm not a celebrity. I'm just me. But they get them every day. You know, local celebrities, you know, people in the news, actors, you know, anyone in the media, they get a lot of that. It's horrible. You know, someone pointed it out for me. So they just delete them, block them. Fine. Okay. Enough of that. So let's get started on Clutch Cargo. Before I explain the history and my memories of Clutch Cargo, I want to say what I said in the beginning of the program, that I had a lot of comments from my followers. And they said, oh, I love this show. I loved it when I watched it as a kid. I hated it. It was scary. It was creepy. It was stupid. they said it was the most asinine thing they ever saw on television. To most people, it was, you know. But when you're a kid, like me, I was fascinated by it, you know, and it wasn't like today, you know, state-of-the-art special effects cartoon. It was very primitive and very low budgeted, you know, shoestring budgeted and cheap looking, which is true. It was. But the bottom line is it's very memorable. You can't forget about this show. Oh no. If you grew up in Chicago, like me, in the late 60s and the 70s, that's one of your memories. You can't forget about this show. It aired in other cities around the United States, but you know. So we'll get started on the history of that and my memories of Club Chicago. Okay, here we go. So this premiered on March 9th, 1959. It was syndicated. The production company was called Cambria Productions. And it was created by a cartoonist. His name was Clark Haas, H-A-A-A-S, two A's. And, you know, it was noted for their, you know, cheap animation, but their stories were imaginative and very, they got your attention for that. And it was the first time they used it for a technology called Synchrovox. Okay. And Synchrovox was a filming method. And that was developed by a man. He was a cameraman. His name was Edwin Gillette. And what he did was he used this before in the 50s to simulate talking animals in TV commercials, which is done today. You know, I've been doing that. And so they decided to, they asked him, why don't we do this for Club Chicago? Okay. They did this on other shows, for example, like Space Angel and Captain Fathom, if you remember that. I forgot about Captain Fathom. Space Angel I used to watch a lot. Okay, as for Club Chicago, the type of show it was like one of those old-fashioned serials that you used to watch in the movie theaters, like back in probably the 40s and the 50s, you know, like Flash Gordon or Batman or Captain Marvel, you know, or Westerns. They did that. So this, the plot of the story was Clark Chicago, he was sent around the world on dangerous assignments. And accompanying him was his young ward Spinner and his dog Paddlefoot, which he was a dachshund. Can you say that? And they would travel around the world, and then they did that. And let's see. And they had a sidekick. I forgot his name. Oh, geez. I don't know. When I find out, I'll let you know. Anyway, so the show was 5 minutes long. And their adventures were about five episodes. And it was like it had a cliffhanger. So they would air it about 5 minutes, and then you would wait the next day to, let's see, so, oh, I found it. He had a pal, Swampy. You know, he had a black beard and all that. I forgot all about him. I don't know if he was on every episode. Maybe. I'm not sure. So anyway, it was 5 minutes long, and then it ended in a cliffhanger. That would be the fifth episode. It was 50 episodes long, so they had about, I can't do my math very well. you could watch the entire episode like really quickly, like that. So it ran for like a half an hour each episode, like that. And let's see. Also, the way they did it with the well, before I get started, they used the synchro box, you know, for the famous lips that the animation is still, it's like frozen, and then then you have the red lips talking, and I think that creeped out a lot of people. It didn't creep me out when I was a kid. No, I found it kind of fun to watch that. So the technique of the Synchrobox was by superimposing live-action human lips over limited motion animation or even motionless animation cells, like that, just like I described. And they did this to save money and time to do that. So it's funny. So according to a couple people, according to some sources, excuse me, this is how it was done. They sat you down and they put you in, you know, they strapped you, maybe not strap you, but they put a brace over your, you know, like in your head, like that. Well, first they applied makeup around your mouth. Then they applied the red lipstick on your lips. And yeah, so it's like you would be strapped in a chair and your head in a brace. It's like you're going to the electric chair or something like that, or you're going to the dentist. And you have to remain like that when you spoke your lines. And then they would film it, his mouth, you know, they filmed their mouth and then they spoke the lines to it, you know, like that. And there was, I don't know how long the process took, maybe quite a while, seems like it, but that's what they did. And it's amazing. I don't know if a few actors complained. Well, there weren't that many actors that were on the show. There was one actor, his name was Emil Sitka. You probably know him from the Three Stooges. He was a supporting cast member. He starred in mostly with Shemp, you know, and Moe and Larry. He did that because he did certain accents and like that. And that's how he described it, you know. Anyway, so that's how it was done. And it became very funny as time went on. My memories of that, they aired this cartoon on Garfield, Goose, and Friends on WGN TV Channel 9, which we all watched. And I remember Fraser Thomas, the host, would bring the little theater screen, you know, apply that, and he goes, "It's time for Clutch Cargo." And then we couldn't wait. We were anticipating that every time he presented it. I think he showed the whole, the entire series, but he only showed 5 minutes of the show because, you know, he had others, not sketches, but they had other things to do on the show. You know, they had Hobby Corner, or he would talk to Garfield Goose or Rombert Rabbit or anything going on. And, but you know, that kind of stinks because now we had to, when they presented like the first episode, we had to wait the next day for the second one, and the third day, and the fourth day, and then the fifth day, it would conclude. And then he would present a second episode, and so on and so on. So it was serialized like that. And that's one of my memories of watching Clutch Cargo. Watching the show and watching Fraser Thomas present it that way, which was kind of cool, like that. Also, the soundtrack of the show, that was provided by a musician. His name was Paul Horn. And the score of the theme song, they used three musical instruments, bongos, a vibraphone, and a flute. So when you hear do, 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 you know, you hear that. So that was funny like that. And let's see. So right now I'm going to play the theme song for Clutch Cargo. This is the introduction to the show. Oh, this will take it back. You know, when I come back after the theme song, excuse me, when the theme song, after it's played, I will talk about some more info about the show. Okay. So sit back and relax and just enjoy the theme song of Clutch Cargo. Okay, here we go.
Clutch Cargo and his pals Spinner and Paddlefoot in another exciting adventure, The Friendly Headhunters.
Shh. Gotta move sort of careful. Old Chubb's gone kind of native.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the theme song for Clutch Cargo. Oh, with that bongos and the flute. So memorable. So it's beautiful. Let's see, what else? There was, when this show aired in the early 60s, they had merchandise. They promoted a show. They had coloring books, a kit. If you want to sign up to be a fan, you know, if you want to be a member of his fan club, you get a certificate in the mail. You know, those are very, very rare objects of that. You can find them on eBay like that. I never receive them like that. And I think there was jigsaw puzzles, probably. Not certain. Anyway, and also coloring books. Yeah, like that. The show is on DVD, if you want to purchase it. That was released around 2005, 2006. It comes in two volumes. I never bought it. Someday I will. You know, I like to do that. I like to, because in the DVDs, they have special features, and I like to get that. It was also told that they have a, you know, we're in the streaming era now. There's a channel for that, for Clutch Cargo, and I think it's on Roku or Tubi, and you can watch the episodes if you like, and it's all on YouTube too. You can watch all the episodes, I believe. So that's kind of nice, like that. And a clip of the series appeared in the 1994 movie Pulp Fiction. I found that scene where there's a little boy and he's watching the show. And that was a scene with Christopher Walken. And he's talking to him. I want to think what... the episode that was shown, it was called The Arctic Bird Giant. That was number two. They showed that. The voice of Clutch Cargo was... He was the announcer of the, you know, he did the introduction of the show. His name is Richard Cotting. That was the only acting job he did. I tried to find information about him, but I couldn't find anything. You know, I don't know if he's still alive, you know, where he was born, you know, what other work he did, nothing. The voices of Spinner and Paddlefoot and other maybe female characters. That was actress Margaret Carey, and she did. She put in a lot of TV shows like that, and she's still alive to this day. You know, and she did a lot of acting back then. Also, for the bad guys, or maybe for example, Swampy. I think it was actor Hal Smith. You know him as Otis the Drunk from the Andy Griffith Show. He did like villains, all kinds of... When you're a kid, you don't notice that stuff. But when you get older, yeah, you do. So he did everything, pretty much. That. So, like I said, this show was very memorable. And a lot of people commented, it's still scary. I didn't like it. other people, I loved it. It was great. It was escapism, you know, and you were hooked on it. You were hooked on this show, you know, like any show that had cliffhangers. It was like a soap opera in a way like that. So it's not on you know, you can't watch it on local television. I mentioned before, you can stream it or watch it on YouTube. Or buy the DVDs. It's available probably on Amazon or eBay. Help yourself. I might do that myself. Like that. Okay. Whew. That's a relief. All right. Last thing I'm going to talk about quickly is my earliest memories of the internet. Now, you know how the internet is today. It is very essential to every home. It's like your television, your telephone, anything, you know, that you need in your life. If you didn't have the internet now, you feel helpless, you know, because everything, you rely on it. You depend on it. You need it. But not back then when it was introduced. So this was invented like a long time ago, like by the military, like probably 69, 1970, and then, it was not available for the public. Later on, it was slowly, probably about the early 90s, because I remember seeing an article in Entertainment Weekly, if you remember that magazine, and they listed an article, let's say they published an article and they listed here, you can read this on the web, you know, the World Wide Web. And I go, what is that? You know, nobody had a computer. Very few people did, or very few people were connected to it. So the other memory of that is the first time that I got the internet. The reason was my brother was living here at the time in my house. He's in California now. He was teaching somewhere and he needed the internet for school. So we shopped around and there was a company called Cordcom, that's Core.com. I don't know if they're still around. I think they are. They were based in Michigan and they introduced dial-up. Not DSL or super speed like today. With the dial-up, it'll, you know, this is using with a telephone line, and it would just, you can't use the phone because you're on the internet. So I remember we bought a computer. We bought it from a friend of my brother's. He's my friend too. And he sold us a computer with the internet, you know. And I think my brother, I don't know how he did this. He probably called and said, I would like to buy the internet, you know, that. And they said, okay. You had to provide your phone number, you know, where you live, blah, 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 and all that. And we were all set. This happened about 97, 98. And I think they gave us some software and we connected it. And then a lot of people will remember it when you start up, it makes that sound like that. And then American Online became very, very popular like that. Okay. And I used to, you know, when you first use it, you're hooked. You're hooked on it. And it was fascinating. I got very carried away because sometimes my mother wanted to use the telephone. We didn't have cell phones back then. She would get upset because I'm in the internet. We couldn't help it, you know, because it was something new and innovative and exciting. You know, now it's ordinary, all right, but we still use it. You know, it's like that. As for speed, it was not as fast as today. It was adequate, like that. Okay. Before I go further, I'm going to play a commercial for American Online. This is like briefly, it's about 15 seconds. If you listen to the guy who's talking, you may recognize him. If you don't, I will reveal who it is. Okay? So sit back and relax, and I'll be right back. Thank you, everyone.
Your boss will think you're working.
But thanks to America Online, I'm really just goofing off.
America Online. Welcome.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed that quick commercial for American Online. The man that's speaking is none other than actor Nick Baquet, who is famous for his roles in King of Queens and also Salem the Cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He's one of my favorite characters, you know. When the show was on WLS TV, Channel 7, on ABC, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s. I didn't watch the show much because I was working late. But then later on, I bought the DVD set and I started watching it. And I've watched it about three or four times, and it's hilarious. You know, it's a good show. You know, it's really fun. You know, with actress Melissa Joan Hart. I've talked to her a couple of times on Facebook. She's very nice. You know, she's very busy, but she does talk to fans once in a while. So, but Salem the Cat was the best. He did all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, he was a glutton. He was insulting. He would stow away places. He would drive a car or telephone or use the other witches, Zelda and Hilda's credit cards. He was a nasty cat. A nasty cat. Oh, my God. It was just bad. But his insults were great. But he did help out the others at time and time. But when I saw the commercial, I recognized his voice immediately. It was him. So, but he does a lot of voice acting and a lot of acting. So he's still acting to this day. Okay. As for the internet, we all have it. Times have changed. They have, how would I say it? Not expanded, but improved over time, you know, and is so we don't need a telephone line. You know, now it's with, you know, fiber, you know, wires and all that. And now it's competition because we first bought it at Comcast and then we bought it at AT&T. But now cell phone companies sell it, like, for example, Verizon or T-Mobile, you know, to get it cheaper like that. Also, they have Comcast Business. If you own a business at home, you can use that. They're reliable. It depends, you know, and how much it depends on the speed you want. You pay more, you know. Well, the one I pay is okay. It's not super fast. It's fine. It's fine like that. You know, as time goes by, computers get skinnier and wireless because they use Bluetooth. That wasn't the case back then. I remember the first computer we bought was Compaq, C-O-M-P-A-Q. Compaq. And I remember the monitor, they showed like a green screen like that. Oh, that was fine. And websites have been developed over the years, not too many, and you would do research. I remember Yahoo was starting, eBay, Amazon was, you know, getting these. YouTube was, you know, getting their feet wet. It was like the golden age of the internet. Okay, that's it for this program. I'll do a quick recap of what I talked about. I talked about my memories of Clutch Cargo, the anime series, and also my memories of first using the internet. This is the last show of the season, season 9. I will start season 10. Yeah, that's exciting. I should do another episode probably Tuesday, I think. I don't know, Tuesday or the weekend. I'll decide then. And once this episode is published, it'll be available wherever podcasts are. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. Please subscribe to my podcast on those apps. Also, it'll be on my YouTube channel, Vanish Chicagoland Stories. Also, it'll be posted on my social media accounts, Facebook and Twitter. Also on my blog, vanishchicagoland.blog. Okay. So I have a feeling a lot of people are waiting for this episode. I don't know. I just have a feeling. We'll see. Okay, this is Pete Costanza, your host for Vanish Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. Thank you for joining me. I had a wonderful time talking about this wonderful episode. So it's bye-bye for me. And here is Ray Rayner closing the show with a little traveling music saying bye-bye-bye. Take care, everyone. So long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.